visual limitations. I was very nearsighted and I had astigmatism. My world was fuzzy and kind of warped. No jokes, okay? That's just what the reality was. And I still remember the first time I went hunting with my dad, we were just going squirrel hunting, with my prescription glasses. I don't think we got much that day because it was the first time I was able to see leaves. Before that, you know, everything was just like this green blob with brown sticks coming up out of the ground. And Dad would say, shoot over there, and I would shoot over there. And I always missed what I was shooting at because, well, I couldn't see anything. But my dad probably slapped me up the back of the head now 6-8 times. Dad, leaves, look at them, they're so small, they're everywhere. Oh, what's that thing? He says, that's a squirrel, that's what we're here for. And they're running away. But I remember that because my clarity of vision was something that I'd never, ever experienced up to that point. And so my hunting career changed at that point. I went from Dad pointing there and me shooting and wasting a shell to me actually knowing what I was shooting at and bringing home dinner. So it was a great change in our household. I stopped wasting money on bullets. But much later in life, I had a second awakening. And God revealed me to me himself through his creation. Now, up to that point, creation was just a place. And it wasn't creation, it was nature. Mother Nature took care of everything. But I've always enjoyed the outdoors. I've hunted, I've fished, I've hunted. I've hiked, wandering hill and dale in search of stuff, you know, like things like wild apples, wild berries, wild mushrooms. You have to be careful which ones you eat because you don't wake up if you eat the wrong ones. And even honey. And I need to tell you, it's easier to buy honey than to dig it out of a tree. Just saying. And there's this other thing that we observed, my dad and I, especially at a couple of places where it looked like civilization tried to encroach upon the trees and failed. We watched nature, that's how what I call it then, watched nature reclaim to actually swallow houses. You know, these little shacks or small houses and trees would grow up and push a wall out or vines would creep over and actually pull walls down. And you get to watch creation, and that's what it is now, eat away and reclaim its own space. But during those later years of doing that, when I knew Jesus, I found that God was speaking into my empty heart. He would use what I was seeing, the beauty of it, the cleverness of it, to show me things about himself. And what I learned, and I'm still absorbing more of it today, is that everything, or at least almost everything, seems to speak about God or reveal some aspect of God. And if you and I were just to pay attention, creation, nature, actually sings the praises of God. And I went from wandering around in nature to reading about it in the Word of God, to watching and listening more for new insights about God in the world around me. Pieces of scripture that I'd read, some of them I'd actually memorized, actually came alive when I was outside. Because this is the playground that God had made for me, for us. I'll share it with you. Mental images later, as I was back inside with my Bible, would come to mind. And what I had casually noticed while I was hunting and fishing now blended with what I was reading and studying. And words on pages, in addition to creation, became a theology for how to do life in the shadow of the One who designed it all. And my friends, trees really do clack their heads. You read that in the Bible, but until you're out there on a windy day and just paying attention, you don't know. I'd like to invite you to join me. I'm going to read Psalm 148. We're going to study that together. Just hear the words for a minute. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at His command they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers of earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His faithful servants of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not sure what your immediate response is when you hear a passage of Scripture like that, but my heart starts to beat faster as I lean into the words, as I absorb the images that are painted in the pictures those words allow us to develop in our minds. And I know I've told you that science has proven that some of you don't have a TV in your head and you can't see anything but the words, and I'm really sorry for that. But I see those images, I see them in color, and they come to life, and they get me excited as I think about getting outside again and seeing these things that here are spoken of as praising God, singing His praises. And as I read these words, I kind of feel like I do when I'm at a parade. You know, you can hear the really good band that's coming, and you're kind of leaning out because this band's not so good, and you're leaning out hoping you can see the really good band. Well, that's what this is like when we read the words of God about Himself and His creation. We lean in. We want to catch a vision of what we think we see through what we've heard. What I'd like to do is I'd like to wander through this psalm, through the words of the psalmist, and I would like to help you see the psalmist narrowing his focus, because he's going to start really wide. And He's going to bring it right down to something very narrow. We're called to worship, but we're also called to worship. And He's going to take us way out there beyond where we can imagine. And He's going to bring it so close to home that you should ache because you haven't done what He's asked you. At least that's my goal. So, Psalm 148, verse 1 is an invitation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. The psalmist is inviting us through his words. He's inviting us to join him in praising God, to acknowledge His greatness, use words of approval and commendation, words that applaud God. Just applaud God right now. God. Yeah. We should do that more often. You know, outside, watching clouds. Some of it clears up today. Maybe you can do that. If you see some shapes, applaud God because He designed those. Applaud His weight and worth. I don't know if we can weigh God. We know this invitation as a call to worship, a call to adore, a call to revere, a call to lift up, even bow before. It's in our words. It's in our songs. It's in our motions. Praising God as we sing, as we talk, as we respond to Him revealing Himself to us. What I want you to notice in this call to worship here, these first few words, He's calling us to worship God out there from the heavens. Perhaps He's even talking about a place beyond places, a place we can hardly begin to imagine, because there are some things when we see it and we can't even imagine it. Like the beautiful sunrise, like a cavern, a canyon, a hillside that's been carved by God, and you see the lines of color that He painted into the earth. Some of these things, we can hardly imagine them, and we're seeing them. But we're called to worship the God from the heavens, beyond the beyond. And he's inviting everyone. Everyone is invited. He's going to narrow his focus to kings and princesses and to people like you and me. Notice verses 11 and 12. I know I'm jumping around, but I need you to see what's going on in the song. Praise the Lord, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and children. God is fascinated with people. Just think about it. He imagined, he designed, Mr. Engineer, he designed them and he molded them and he breathed life into them. And in them, he prepared them, enabled them to fill the earth with more of them. God is fascinated with people. His creation includes people. Many, 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 many people. And regardless of the limitations or prejudice that you and I might struggle with, God has none of that because he's fascinated with every single person. And any one of them was enough for him to send his son to repair the damage of sin. It's you and I that struggle with what God is like. Well, that's not a problem. Highborn, earthly important. Every day, Bob and Jane. Age does not matter. Gender does not matter. Race does not matter. All have voices that are called by God through his prophets, through his promise, to sing his praises. Verse 13. Let them, that is all people, praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Now, a little history lesson for you. But back in the Dark Ages, in the Middle Ages, in the church community, only the priests and the authorized people in the sanctuary did the singing and the speaking and the reading. And you would have been mute for centuries, silenced by the church. And then in the 15th and 16th century, with the coming of the reformers, they brought music back into the pew. And my guess is that God's heart fluttered with excitement as once again he heard the voices of his creatures, his people, singing his praises. Why? Because God has a special joy, verse 14. And he has raised up his people, a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart, praise the Lord. Now, on certain Sundays here at Trinity, we have the privilege, sometimes over there, sometimes over here, sometimes over there, you can't miss the horns, the brass when they play. But when God created his people, they, when they lift their corporate voice, are a horn that trumpets the praises of God. He has raised up for his people a horn. Initially, he was talking about the nation of Israel, but today it's the people of the church. It is our voice, it is our praises, it is our songs that trumpet the praises of Almighty God. And you and I, in Christ by faith, we have a place close to the heart of God. A place so close, so desired, that he sacrificed his son, who was him, as the Godhead, so that he could draw us closer to himself. We, you and I, we might be content being the choir that gets to sing God's praises, but I think God wants more. He wants the full orchestra. Notice back at verse 2. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. There's a lot of stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the earth, above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away, The psalmist shifted his thinking from people praising God to the heights of heaven, to the depths of the sea, to all the things that could create a voice, a noise, pointing to God. From what is simple, beyond our understanding, what is simply beyond our understanding, a call to praise, a call to worship, is extended to all the heavenly beings. We don't even know what all the beings are. Some of them are labeled in Scripture, and we don't know what they are. We have pictures, word pictures of them, but we don't know what they all are. They are invited to praise the Lord. It is extended to all the celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, all those places out there that we're just now beginning to see and name. He's calling them to worship. But again, notice the narrowing of the call to God's holy praise. The wonders, the majesty, the magnitude, the angels, the clouds, the creatures of the sea. He's gone from where God alone has been forever into creation and brings it closer and closer to us, to things that we now imagine that we can measure and explain. We can't. But we do. We write books about it and we offer words of explanation. But God is offering them as part of this growing orchestra. Each and every one of these, whether creature or thing, is invited to praise and to worship the One, our Creator. From the heights beyond measure to the heights we now measure, the psalmist narrows his focus. He's coming closer. He's coming closer because he wants your heart. Listen to the invitation, verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all earthen depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. I'm pretty sure that Sandy Patty nailed this in her song, Was It a Morning Like This? It's an Easter song. And in there, there's a stanza that reads, or she sings it. I'm going to read it because you would get up and leave if I sang it. Did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice to feel you again? The one who had been slain, the one who had been sealed into a tomb, risen, alive, walking on the grass. And Sandy's singing, did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice? Apparently, according to the psalmist, according to the Word of God, everything has a voice, or at least everything is designed to praise the One, the Creator, our great God. Just take your imagination on a hike, or to the local zoo or aquarium. All of God's creatures have a voice. All of those strange creatures have a voice. And the psalmist invites their praise and their worship of the One who created them. On a windy day, as I said, the trees actually do clap their hands. You can hear the branches smacking against branches, leaves fluttering against leaves. And it could just be me, but it seems to me that everything looks up to the Creator God, except for one fish. It's called the lookdown. It's kind of squares, it's got a pointy nose, and its eyes are in the bottom of its head. And when you see them in the aquarium, they're in little schools, and they just swim in circles looking down. I feel so bad for them. But everything just seems to look up. It's looking for the One. And at the end of the day, or the end of this psalm, you and I, the apple of God's eye, are but bit players in the larger orchestra, called upon by the psalmist to praise and worship God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is our calling in life. Now, I have asked you over the last several weeks about your approach to life. I pointed out, and some of you admitted, that you live life with a wide-angle lens. You're looking at everything around you as much as you can see, and your head goes back and forth so you don't miss anything. I also noted, and some of you confessed, that you live with a much narrower path. It's just what's in front of you. It's just what's in front of you. Don't bother me with the rest. It's just what's in front of me. And we need to own that. But I'm here today to invite you to swivel your head. Go like this. Turn it to the left. Turn it to the right. Turn it to the left. See, you can do it. It didn't fall off. And I believe if God only wanted us to look straight ahead, this wouldn't happen. But it does. Because He would love us to have a wide-angle lens so that we can see out to the corners of our vision and further if we swivel our head on the neck that bends and twists. To see the wonders of His creation, the wonders of His creation that point us to Him, that we might join our voices with them, because they're also in their own voice singing their praises to God. Early last Sunday morning, a bunch of us were up on Cannon Hill, and when Elizabeth wasn't leading us in song, you could hear the birds singing in the background. And I think they were saying, "Why are you making noise? We've got this covered." And they were, you did a fine job, but the birds were just amazing. And they each know the words to the song they're singing. And I'm sure it sounds like praise the Lord in bird, praise the Lord in squirrel, praise the Lord in, you get the drift? Creation has a voice. As a little boy, without glasses, without faith, I missed years and years of God's sightings. Everything was kind of smushed or blurred together for me. The many pieces simply not visible. And even today, as a slightly older man, with, yeah, I know, we can all be hopeful. With an intentional wide-angle lens, as I watch life go by, I can see God reflected in the wonders and beauties of the world around me. I invite you to swivel your head, because God has wonders for you that maybe you've missed. The God that I see is all around, and it looks like genius. It looks like colorful. It looks like playful. It looks like loving and humorous and purposeful and moving and chasing and embracing. It's all of those things, and it's after me. And it's after you. And sometimes God captures our attention with something that's flickering on the edge of our field of vision. And it just flickers there until we turn. And then we realize, oh my goodness, I would have missed that. Isn't that the most amazing thing? Thank you, God. And sometimes it's at the very edge of what we can hear. And we almost can hear it, but not quite. And so we do what's natural for that. We just walk away. And too often that's what we do because it's too hard. We don't want to work that hard. Feed me with a spoon, God. But sometimes He whispers, and He makes us lean in to hear. And then we find we've stepped into an adventure. Ew, that's messy. Because part of our relationship with Him is being caught up in those kind of moments of life. And so I wonder this morning about you. Can you see God in creation? Can you hear God through His creation? Is it just colors and noise? And are you an active participant in the choir of creation? Adding your voice to the others, singing praise to the God of wonder. Well, I'm going to invite you to praise God with me. And we're going to read Psalm 100 together. And we're going to do it like they did it in the Old Testament. Everybody stood for the reading of the word. And after we're done reading, I'm going to invite you to stay standing because we're going to go from reading to singing. And if you're one that needs the hymnal, it's number 90, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Psalm 100, beginning at verse 1, reading together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And this morning, I invite you to sing as if only God can hear you.